Amen. Do please take a seat. Well, it's great to see so many people this morning. It's great to see young and old together. I'm going to ask those who are younger to come up to the front so that you can see my map. And if you're really young, you might want to bring a mum or dad just to check that they behave well. And let's gather over here. Well done, William.
Macedonia, Egypt, Italy.
Fantastic. Take a seat, everyone.
Scotland.
Come on up. Well done, Martha. Come and sit in front of the map so that you can see. That's great. Well done, guys. Good to see you all. Hope everyone can see my lovely map here. We're going to be looking at Paul's first missionary journey around the Mediterranean Sea. But first of all, we're going to put a verse on the screen. We've already prayed, so let's have a look at this verse together. I'll just come to that. As Nathan said at the beginning, we're working our way through the book of Acts, a little chunk each summer. And in the first summer, two summers ago, we looked at Acts 1 to 7, where we saw the good news of Jesus spreading out from Jerusalem. And this verse says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem." That was the first series that we had, the good news spreading from Jerusalem, as Nathan said, Acts chapter 1 to 7. Now look carefully at the word at the top. If our first series was unstoppable, the second series was, what does that say, William?
Unexpected,
absolutely right, because we saw the good news spreading out to Judea and to Samaria, people that normally wouldn't have been appreciated by the Jewish people, and yet the good news was for them as well. And we saw that last summer, including the conversion of Cornelius, which was really exciting, seeing the good news going out to the non-Jewish people as well. But then the verse says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, William, keep an eye on this. Guys, can you all see the screen? Look right at the word at the top. Here we go. Unlimited. That's our series for this summer.
Looking
unlimited. Exactly. Well done, Joshua. And we're looking at Paul's first missionary journey. Now, you guys won't all be able to see this, but maybe the guys who are watching from home and you guys at the front, this is, you get the special privilege of being at the front. Can you see these black lines here? Yeah? That is Paul's first missionary journey. And these are the places that we're going to be visiting through the summer over the next 5 weeks. Five particular destinations on the journey. And it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be five different preachers. And we're going to learn a lot from God's word together. Now, in our passage today, if you've got your Bibles, would you like to turn to page 1107 in the church Bibles? Or if you've brought your own Bible, which is even better, then it's in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and we're looking at the story of Barnabas and Saul being sent off, and the first visit on the journey, which is to Cyprus. So, Acts 12, 25-13-12. And I'm going to ask Mo to come up to the front. And she's going to read the first half of our story together as we see them launch off from Antioch. Can everyone see on the map? Here's Antioch. You can see it, William. Brilliant. And then we're going to go to this in a minute after a song. We're going to go to Cyprus. Anyone ever been to Cyprus before? A few hands. Really lovely hot place. So might need to put our suntan cream on. Brilliant. Okay, so let's have Acts chapter 12 and just the first paragraph, verse 25-13, verse 3. Thank you, Mo. Listening, guys.
When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John also, called Mark. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off.
Brilliant. Thank you, Mo, very much indeed. You can take a seat for the moment. The rest of you guys, can you see this place here? I put a little church building there. Of course, the church is the people, not the building. And here is Antioch. And this is where we are on the map. Has anyone ever been to Antioch? Not sure if it's... Yes. Well done. William and Liming are great travellers, and they've been to Antioch. Well, this is where our last series finished, in this very important church, which became a kind of mission base for the good news. And I'm going to introduce you to some of the people that we meet here in the church in Antioch. It says that there were five teachers or prophets, and there was also one helper. So, guys, have a look at these faces. Can you see them at the front? Put them on the screen so that the people at the back can see as well. We start here with Barnabas. Now, Barnabas means son of encouragement, and he was such an encouraging guy. And you can see he's a super smiley guy. He was actually born in Cyprus, so he's going to be really useful when they send them off to Cyprus. Then we've got Saul. And Saul was also known as Paul. As Nathan said, you have to have a P if you're going to be a missionary. And there he is. He was converted on the Damascus Road. We saw that in our series last time. And he's a very important leader of the church. And actually, if we look carefully at these verses in this section that we're looking at over these next 5 weeks, we're going to see the emphasis changing from Barnabas and Saul to Saul and Barnabas, or even Paul and Barnabas. Paul becomes very important. Then we've got their special helper. Here's John Mark. Looks like he could do with a haircut, doesn't he? But John Mark is super important. Maybe he helped with the preaching. Maybe he helped with the cooking when they were out on their tours. But he was super important. In fact, we know that he was really important because he actually wrote down Mark's gospel, or so we think. John, also known as Mark. A lot of them had two names during these times. Now, who have we got next? We've got Simeon. Now, Simeon was also one of the prophets. He was probably from West Africa. And then we've got Lucius. He was from North Africa. And then we've got Manaen, and he was the stepbrother of Herod. He grew up in the same household. That's really interesting. Doesn't look like Herod had had a good effect on him, looking at his face there. But I couldn't get a better picture, so apologies for that. We've got five prophet teachers and one helper. And it's great to see, isn't it, how as well as the gospel spreading out across the Mediterranean, also the church is being built up. That's why we come on a Sunday, isn't it? To be built up, to encourage one another, so that the good news that is for Huntingdon is also for us as well, as we get reminded of the truths about the Bible. Now, what we see in this first section that Mo has just read for us is that God is committed to sending the workers. Did you see that? Did you see how all these people are there gathered in the church, but the Holy Spirit is helping them to choose two to go out on mission? Let's have a look at the verses together. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting. Does anyone know what fasting is? Do any of you? Yes. Yeah, Valerie.
Fasting is when you don't eat anything.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it's not that you're super fast at your running. It's rather that you fast. You stop from your eating in order to do something very important. And here we see that they're doing two things while they're fasting. In verse... Don't worry about that. Just put that there. They are worshipping, they're worshipping and fasting, and they're praying and fasting in verse 2 and 3. So they're stopping eating to do something really important. They're praying to God for wisdom to know who to send out on this mission, to take the good news out to the next part, from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And here we see that God is committed to sending the workers. Because it says in verse 2, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. They sent out two of their best missionaries to go out with the good news to the next stage. Look how committed God is. God, the Holy Spirit. I was chatting to two Jehovah Witnesses yesterday in town. I was really sad to hear that they didn't believe that Jesus or the Holy Spirit is God. But here we see God, the Holy Spirit, sending out his good news. And in answer to their prayers, God intervenes and he guides the church, telling them who to send out. They didn't send them out by plane. Anyone here good at making paper aeroplanes? Yeah? You're welcome to make a paper aeroplane after the service. That would be great. They didn't send them out by plane. They sent them out by boat. And we're going to see where they went in just a moment. But here's the question for us before we sing our next song. God is committed to sending the workers. Question, are we? Are we committed to sending the workers? I don't know if anyone has ever heard of Benjamin Broomhall. I bet some people have heard of Hudson Taylor. Anyone heard of Hudson Taylor? Great missionary in China. And thank you, William, for the book. It's great to be on the Free Cycle group where we can share books. Thank you for that. But you probably haven't heard of Benjamin Broomhall. Benjamin Broomhall was Hudson Taylor's brother-in-law, and he was very influential in sending out missionaries to China in the end of the penultimate century. Benjamin Broomhall. And it was said of Benjamin Broomhall, not many people have heard of him, but actually he was so influential in sending out the Cambridge Seven and other people to take the good news. In fact, he and his wife Amelia sent 5 of their 10 children out to China. Wow, some of us have got a bit more work to do, both in terms of reproduction and in terms of sending our kids. But this is what it was said of him. Just find the right page. One of the tributes paid to Benjamin after his death was this: "So much influence has seldom been combined with so little prominence as in the life of Benjamin Broomhall. Today, Hudson Taylor is a household name in Christian circles, but little is known of his brother-in-law, without whose service the rapid growth of the mission in this period would never have been achieved, and Benjamin would not have wanted it to be otherwise." A very humble man who is very committed to sending out workers. Hands up if you've ever been a missionary overseas. Teresa, it's great to have you with us today. Some of us, Emma and I, went out in 2010 to Belgium to take the good news. But maybe not all of us are missionaries who can go overseas, but we can all be committed to the spread of the good news, like Benjamin Broomhall. And kids, I've got 4 ways in which we can do that. Okay, the first one is this. Has anyone got one of these at home? Yeah? Yeah, William, William, why don't you look after that one? That's our prayer calendar. We can pray for our missionaries. That's the first thing. Another thing we can do is that we can, what's this? Give our pocket money. Yeah? Absolutely. Martha, do you want to look after that? Reminder to us. We sometimes put a few pennies aside to send out to missionaries and those who are sharing the good news. Joshua, what's that one? A sandwich. Why don't you take that one? Do you know, another thing we can do is we can sit and have a meal with people who are missionaries or who are going to be missionaries. Matt and Sarah, who aren't with us today, are hoping, God willing, to go out to Eastern Europe with Crosslinks to serve Jesus overseas. Why not have a meal? Families, why not invite Matt and Sarah or Diego when he's back over to your house for a meal and find out more about how you can be supporting mission. Now, here we've got a speech bubble. And do you want to take that one, Ezekiel? That's fantastic. Speech bubble, because you can talk to the mission committee. Now, we've got, very exciting, we've got 4 people who are going to be relaunching our mission committee. And they are William and Gina and Harriet and Phoebe. So a big thank you to our mission committee who organise the sending of money and the sending of and the gathering of prayer points so that we can make sure that we are committed to the spreading of the gospel as it goes out to the ends of the earth. But this is not just something for others to do. We've got a role as well. I'm going to ask the kids to go back to their seats. So guys, you go back. Should I take that one, William? And you hang on to that, Martha. Joshua, you hang on to that. And we are going to sing a song now. So if the musicians would like to come forwards, we're going to sing a song which gives us a clue about our role in this mission as well. And just during this song, I'm going to need 5 volunteers. They can be adults. Yeah, William, Joshua, coming up. Maybe Martha, well done. Yes, a couple of older ones as well. Fantastic, well done. Yeah, coming up, Valeria. And maybe Rob, you'd be great help. Come on, Rob, that'd be lovely. Yeah, Rob Clark. You can read very well, that's the key to this one. So Rob as well, if you guys come over here, you're gonna sing, we're gonna get dressed up for the next part of what happens, and then we'll learn about our role in this wonderful mission. Great, tell them, tell everybody, that's what we've gotta do. Thank you. Would you please take a seat? Okay, now we've got our team at the ready. It's time. Over you come, guys. Come and take a seat over here. Fantastic. Now, if you would like to sit on this side, Sergius Paulus, if you'd like to come over here. Martha, that is John Mark. If you'd like to go with your missionary friends over here, why doesn't Barnabas and Martha go and stand with Saul, Paul over there? That's great. You guys stand over there. Something that you all need as well, because you're our prophet teachers, is a Bible. Can't do the job without a Bible, so you all get a Bible. And let's find out what happens in the next part of our story. I'm going to ask Mo up to the front. Why don't you guys turn around so that everyone can see you? Fantastic. There's our intrepid team of missionaries going out to the next destination. And we're going to meet some very interesting characters over here. This is going to be fun. Let's have verse 4 and 5 in just a minute. But before we do, some of you have been to Cyprus. I've been there, went on holiday once, a lovely sunny destination. Here's some sunny pictures from, there we go. Some lovely holiday snaps from Cyprus, not ones that I took, but it's a place full of beauty, it's full of history, it's full of beautiful sunshine coasts, beautiful villages, fishing villages. That's where our three missionaries are heading. So we better take this arrow and move it from Antioch over to Cyprus. So let's have our next few verses. Verse 4 and 5, please.
Yes. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. So there we are. We've got Saul over there. Give us a wave, Saul. Fantastic. We have got Barnabas over here. Give us a wave, Barnabas. Well done, Joshua. And we've got John Mark, their helper. Give us a wave. Well done. They've got their Bibles. They're ready to go. They're preaching the word. They're taking it across the Mediterranean Sea to this beautiful island of Cyprus. And it's wonderful to see the gospel going out. They've left. If you want to see on the map, you can come and see this afterwards if you're a bit further away. They've gone from Seleucia. Those of us who are reading the book of Daniel, we're learning about the Seleucids, who were the kings of the north. They came from up here in Syria and they fought against the kings of the south. And it's heading out to a place called Salamis. Can't quite. If you don't mind, Sergey, clicking one more time. Thank you. And a place called Salamis. I got the wrong picture for Salamis. But then they've arrived. Here we are on the first part of Cyprus, and they're working their way west towards Rome, interestingly, as we see the gospel going out to all nations. Let's see what happens next. Now, can we have Sergius Paulus and Alimus stand up, please? We're going to meet some characters. Let's have verse 6 to 8, please, Mo. Everyone follow this in the Bible, page 1107. Let's see who they meet on their travels.
Yes. So, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There, they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul, he sent for Barnabas and Saul.
Okay, Saul, come on over. Saul and John Mark, we better have you coming over as well. Come and meet Sergius Paulus. Elymas, if you just stand to one side. Come on over. If you guys come around the front here so that everyone can see you.
Greetings.
All meeting together. And if you guys stand over here, let's hear what happens next in verse 8. That's great. Over there. Martha, do you want to stand on that side? That's great. Brilliant.
He sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer. Where's Elymas?
Here's Elymas. Elymas, give them a wave. Okay. Here he is.
But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul away from the faith.
This is really outrageous. Here's a guy called Elymas. Now, William, don't worry that you're the bad guy here, because we know that you're normally the good guy, and you've got these wonderful specs. This guy is Jewish, but he's acting against the Jewish faith. His name is Bar Jesus, which means son of Jesus, but he's acting more like the son of the devil, which is surprising. And let's hear what happens next when Saul tries to help Sergius Paulus, who's being put off by this magician conjurer guy. Let's hear what happens in verses 9 to 11.
Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, not him, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you ever stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?"
Thank you. Wow, this is really serious. Now, William, just to reassure you again that you're just acting here. So it's a bit of a scary story, isn't it? Because this guy, his trendy sunglasses have been replaced by mist. A bit of mist. What's a bit of mist. And he can't even see. This is a little bit what happened to... You see at the moment? You want to put those down? Yeah? This Jewish magician can't even see now. It's as if he's become blinded because he's no longer walking in the truth. And he can't see. Well, let's see what happens next. What does Sergius Paulus think about this?
"Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time and not even be able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now, when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord.
Wow. Sergius Paulus, how do you feel about this Christian message? Does it sound good? Yeah? Do you want to follow Jesus now?
Do you want to follow Jesus?
Yeah. Give a thumbs up. Yeah, phew. Okay, the mission is taking effect. Well, I think we should give these guys a round of applause, particularly William, who's been such a good mission. Well done. Good boy. Do you want to go in? You guys can all go and sit down. Well done. That was amazing, wasn't it? Here we are. This is just the first stop on the missionary journey. And we've got already a kind of cosmic battle between God and Satan. And there's this guy who's a Jewish conjurer. And he's trying to stop Sergius Paulus from hearing the good news. It's quite interesting seeing how the names work in the book of Acts, because the son of Jesus is not acting like a son of Jesus. And actually, Sergius Paulus, the Roman, is becoming more like Paul, who is a believer in that sense. Well, I guess we're learning that not only is God committed... Thank you. Not only is God committed to the sending of his workers, but if we have one more click. Thank you. God is committed to the spreading of the word as well. It's not just sending the workers, but it's the spreading of the word as well. And you see, it's easy for us here at Christ Church Huntingdon just to send missionaries, and they've got a work to do. And wonderfully, we've got many people that we're supporting all around the world. But we also have a role to play as well. Because actually, the New Testament says that all of us are to be gossipers of the gospel and to be ready to share the hope that we have. It's not easy talking to people about Jesus. And nowadays, it's getting harder even to invite people to our church. It's wonderful when new people come to our church. And if you're still following, if you're still investigating the Christian faith, thank you for joining us today. But perhaps more, we need to be taking the gospel out to others, like Paul and Barnabas and John Mark did. I wonder if any of you here need to think of a new way in which you can get involved with taking the good news out. You see, God is committed to the sending of the workers, and we need to be as well. We need to be sending workers. But God is committed to the spreading of the word. And therefore, are we committed to the spreading of the word as well? There are lots of ways in which we try to do this as a church. We do some door-to-door work, have a word with Becca and Matt when they're back from Keswick to find out more about that. We've got the English Cafe that you can help with next Saturday morning. Some people are going off on summer camps. Raise a hand if you're going off on a summer camp to spread the good news of Jesus. So do be praying for all of us guys as we seek to take the gospel. And also just getting to know our friends and neighbours, maybe having them in our home, taking a friend out to the shops or just going for a walk. And as we do that, not keeping the good news to ourselves, but sharing it with others. The name of our church, Christ Church Huntingdon, we have three aims. We're loving Jesus, that's Christ. We're loving one another, that's the church part, Christ Church. But I wonder if we need to do a little bit better at taking the good news to Huntingdon. And the elders of the church are going to be meeting in August to think and pray and maybe fast and worship to pray about how the Lord might help us to take the good news better out to Jesus. Why don't you spend some time during this summer praying and fasting that the Lord would help us and would show us how we can just not just be keeping the gospel to ourselves, but taking it out to others. Well, we've seen the beginning of Paul's missionary journey, starting in Antioch, spreading out to Cyprus. But the place where it all began is what we're going to think about now, Jerusalem, where Jesus died on the cross and was raised for our sins. He died for our sins and he was raised to give us new life. Let me pray, and then we're going to share communion together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this mission is your mission, the mission of God. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have great confidence in the fact that we're not trying to get you to help with our work, but you're getting us to help with your work, and you're already committed to it. Please help us to keep in step with the Spirit as we seek, as a church, to take the good news out to Huntingdon and further afield. Please would you strengthen us and help us, and give each one of us, even in this coming week, opportunities to speak of the Lord Jesus to those around us. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.